I understand that the windmill is part of my story. Windmill to windmill, windmill to windmill. It's so much more about just sex.
I'm a pilot.
I'm about to embark on the most amazing flight of my life.
Very high on life.
Definitely a lot of flying. That's my first love. This is the captain speaking. I'd like to welcome aboard Bachelaire. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's definitely going to be drama.
What drama?
But hopefully we'll end with a nice greaser of a touchdown. Welcome aboard.
Hello, Internet. Welcome. Ooh, that is an early one.
Yes. There it is. There it is. It is 11 p.m. I am exhausted. I don't want this. I'm tired of it. Why does this show think we need to do three-hour episodes?
Yeah, this show, like the sleeve length on Peter's shirts, can't figure out how long it's supposed to be.
He's got long arms. You can't fault him for being lanky.
You can't wear a long-sleeve t-shirt when everybody else is wearing, like, bikinis and stuff.
Actually,
that's dumb.
I would probably say it's more of a gangly than it is.
It's hot.
No, well, I mean, maybe...
You're sweating through your long-sleeve t-shirt. Maybe just air it out.
Well, it seems like the weather is complicated in Costa Rica?
No, it's just hot in Costa Rica. It's not...
It's damp.
Shorts and long sleeves. You just don't do that.
A lot of people are wearing jeans, so I can't really understand what's going on. Hey, everybody. So, we've got two episodes this week, which is a nightmare.
Yeah, surprise, curveball.
We did
There's two episodes of The Bachelor this week, and you know what? They're not even on back-to-back nights. They're going to be on Monday and Wednesday, so 25 to life coming at you Tuesday and Thursday.
But you know what? That means we get to get some sleep, but it also means that people will get a week of just us. It's been quite some time since it's just been the two of us on the pod.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we got great friends, but... It's time to make a 40-minute episode.
That's right.
That's going to be on the air, so I hope that we edit this correctly and do everything right.
Amen.
Let's get into it.
I would like to start by saying the producers are monsters. They continue to do so. I don't know if Peter's stupid. Well, I know
Peter
that Peter's
stupid.
But the producers are just really killing it this season, and so if there was an award to be given, I'd give it to them.
Great.
Yeah. So we start the episode in...
So we're still in Cleveland, right?
Cleveland, still. This is the aftermath of Aaliyah still being on the show.
It's Aaliyah. You haven't said it right once the whole season.
Are you serious?
It's Aaliyah. They say everyone has only ever said Aaliyah ever on the show, except you.
I like saying Aaliyah because it's a totally important
it's
designer.
It's wrong.
It's a totally important designer, and I will totally shoot you in the head. Clueless.
So we left off last week with Aaliyah came back from the crypt, and Peter was like, oh my God, you're still on the show, and then all the women are angry. And then instead of ending last week's episode like with her just being eliminated because of that, we have to wait and then start this week with this elimination.
Well, actually, the real thing is, instead of, I don't know, not letting her come back to the group date that she wasn't actually on was part one. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's a Peter.
That's
I mean,
Peter.
Peter's terrible.
That's Peter's terrible.
Peter is the weakest person.
He's a bad boyfriend, and that's not cute.
He's nobody's boyfriend.
Well, he's...
If you're 15 people's boyfriend, you're nobody's boyfriend.
Well, that sounds more like a cult than anything else, so...
Now I'm interested.
That's right.
And this is what I absolutely love about the show, is that it is... it is not a thing that you do where you just take somebody by the hand and lead them into a corner and you go, listen... you know, I kind of was iffy about bringing you back on the show, but it kind of makes everyone else angry, so you need to leave.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to give them, like, a 20-minute speech where you're like, well, you know, from the beginning, I felt like there was a connection, and then, you know, like, we're just moving at different speeds, and, like, I'm not really sure... You know, that this is going in the right direction.
But this is literally the trouble of dating somebody who is 12 years old. You feel like you need to over-explain yourself rather than saying, you know what, it's not working for me. You gotta go.
Yeah, and she can totally see it because she's crying the whole time because she knows what's coming. And he just can't get it out.
I think the problem that I saw a lot over the course of this episode is Peter wants people to like him. Versus wanting to make good choices.
Well, yeah, that's his problem.
Right. And so as a result, he takes, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to tell a girl that, hey, it's not working out. or he'll keep somebody on because he feels bad or because he wants somebody to like him. I'm like, that's not how you walk through the world. And again, behavior of a bad boyfriend.
He doesn't need to walk. He's a pilot.
That's right.
He can fly.
So sorry, Adam.
Do we do a... I mean, we might as well just lump this in with the people who were about to lose and just do one big mass end of the road, right?
I think the only other thing that I would say is that, you know, he tried to make it seem like he wanted to be the nice guy and essentially said, I don't care what anybody else says about you in there, but you also have to go home. That means you do care what people say.
All he cares about. I mean...
Don't lie, Peter. Stop lying.
He's just weak. He's fantastic.
You know what makes you weak, though?
No. Don't even say it. No, you can't even say it on the air.
Ah, you know what it is.
All right. So Alea leaves. She's crying. Whatever. And then the other girls line up for a rose ceremony because we realize we haven't had one of those in forever.
Weeks.
We're about to get two of them this week. Good news. We're going to mow through some of this trash.
Well, it seems like after the Alea business, he sort of did his tour of duty and started to apologize to the girls. Of course, they're not really in a position not to accept his apology. So they all do.
This is like the 100th time he goes, listen, I make mistakes. Like, that's a thing.
I just feel like he's doing too much to... I don't know, work out the kinks of being a bachelor in the first couple weeks. You know, like, you get something new and you don't really know how to use it. So you don't know how to use an automatic wine opener the first couple times you use it, and then you figure it out. This is not the same thing.
Taylor still doesn't know how to use an automatic wine opener.
It starts making noise, and then I don't know what to do.
It does, like, it wants to do more of the work than I want it to do.
That's exactly the problem. It does. That's the problem. And I have to get used to letting the machine do it. But then that
you
also...
You can't just call me the machine. That's not
all right,
okay.
All right. I'm just saying, I don't want to give all of my dexterity over to a robot. Because that's how they end up killing you in your sleep.
Yeah, it's the wine-opening robot that's going to do it to us.
Yes.
Drama! That's it. So let's go through the end of the road here. Just, I mean, obviously real quick. We've got a lot to do. First one is Alea. She was off the show, then she was back on the show, and then, surprise, it was drama.
Do you think if she hadn't gone home, gotten her nails done, and gotten on the internet, she would still be here?
Well, no, she was terrible.
No, I mean, but like, you know, with all of the back
I mean, honestly,
do you think,
like,
he would have kept her around?
No, because the women that are going to end up winning, spoiler alert, the women who are going to end up winning the season are the ones who just keep their mouth shut and let all the other women self-destruct.
And there are definitely plenty of them already, and I hate them, except Kelly.
And Alea couldn't do that. She was going to open her mouth and... destroy everyone. So
I can't believe she went home and got her nails done. That's so rude.
Let's keep going. Let's go to Deandra.
You know, I felt bad for
any
Deandra.
Moments with her?
Well, she thought she had this thing on lock, at least this week, but
it's always sad when they don't see it coming.
Yeah,
like, oh,
she really didn't. She really didn't.
Oh, because we nailed this. We knew you weren't going to be here.
Yeah, she was probably, if you don't remember Deandra, she's Sydney with about 7 more pounds.
I mean, Sydney's hotter.
Not in a bad way, but
Sydney's
like
hotter.
In a bodacious way.
Yeah, you might remember Deandra from being number 4 in my power rankings like the second week.
Yeah, she had them thanks.
She didn't really do anything this season.
Yeah.
It's amazing we're this far and there are still women who have not done anything and they're still in the show.
Yeah, it's amazing. Then we also lost Kiara. Kiara? Kiara.
I heard Kiara, maybe?
Alaya?
Kiara?
Kiara. She was the one that came out of the suitcase on the first episode.
This is the 5th episode. She has to have done something between now and then, right?
She was the black girl with the great blonde dye job, which, so confusing to me. I haven't seen a blonde that good since Mary J. Blige, so good for her. Good for her.
Any actual moments? Anything we're going to miss?
Absolutely
great.
Not. No.
I had to look up the last girl's name because she has done literally nothing this season. It's Savannah. Who?
Savannah looked like Peyton, who also looked like
who is
Sarah.
That? Who
I
are
know,
these people?
I know.
Wait, Sarah and Peyton are contestants from this season.
Correct.
Are they all blonde?
Yes.
Great. He likes that, though.
Obviously, he does it because he kicked her off the show.
Well, yeah, but he's, you know.
Bye, girls.
Let's go to Costa Rica.
I have something to say.
Oh, please say it.
Does anybody know what Peter's bad tattoo says?
What if you said, I have something to say, and I said, this isn't the place.
This isn't the time.
our podcast, where we just talk to our friends for an hour a week. This is not the place for you to say that.
If Adam had said, keep it to yourself, like, that would have been great.
I would never say that.
You wouldn't say, but you'd say, keep it to yourself.
I would say, this isn't the place.
Okay.
You know?
He's so sweet, everybody.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything else to say after
no,
that?
No, I was just like, you know.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had this moment where I was like, I should have said that.
My only question is, does anybody know what Peter's bad tattoo says? Usually.
I think it looked loosely, maybe numeric.
It looked like it was an elephant.
It's an elephant or a 29.
Or a 29.
It could be anything.
Or, you know, sometimes in these kinds of crowds and communities, it's a cross. But it didn't seem like it was a cross.
It's not Natasha's back.
Ooh.
She has like a 16-inch cross.
It's not that big. It's big. It's not a cross. It's more of like a lotus experience.
Oh, I thought it was a cross.
There's a lot of girls on this show, very surprisingly, who have tattoos in between their shoulder blades. I would personally like to see more chandelier tattoos, just in between the boobs. Just let me, you know, just let me play with it.
Nope. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of a Rihanna.
Let's go to Costa Rica.
Okay. So we're in Costa Rica.
It's hot.
It's hot. But
don't tell Peter because he's not dressing like it.
Well, we start the episode and Peter walks up to the girls and greets them. And he has a bit of a nasty gash on his face.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is when it happened.
Yes.
This is, like, the big news of the season. Peter cut his face open.
Now, earlier this season, well, before the show came on, a story came out that Peter got 22 stitches in his face.
Drama.
The rumors were that he was playing golf and he slipped and fell, blah, blah, blah. But we actually have footage.
It was golf adjacent.
It was golf adjacent.
He wasn't playing anything.
No, he was not.
He was boarding a golf cart.
We actually have footage and a reenactment from
the experience. Why they gave us the reenactment. They had the actual cam footage.
I personally love the reenactment, and then the cam footage really added another layer to it.
The actual reenactment had that POV moment.
Yeah, I like the POV. I think the thing that was great about the cam footage was that it showed you how fast it actually happened. Rather than, you know, getting to be like, oh my God. So yeah. He hit his head. So let's tell you what happened. So Peter was walking out of the lobby of the hotel.
This is an audio reenactment.
Yes. We will provide
a reenactment.
We will provide the video footage. He was walking out of the hotel carrying his bags. He also had a glass in his hand. And because he is a clumsy, dopey idiot, he hit his head on the golf cart. On the top of the golf cart.
So it has the roof, and he's like, didn't duck down enough to get under the roof.
As he was trying to get into the back of the golf cart. And so he hit his head so much that he reflexively tried to put his hand up to protect himself.
And that hand is holding a glass.
Smash the glass into his own face.
Mazel tov. Right?
When Kelly said she hated his face, I don't think she meant for him to go this far.
I think it got better. He'll do anything for Kelly.
Yeah, he will. Well,
This is actually a good segue into how the date. So he shows up, you know, he explains what happens. And then everyone's, you know, we're all just dripping on ourselves because we're in Costa Rica. Peter's like, oh my God, it's just the perfect place to fall in love with a scarred forehead.
He said that about Cleveland.
He goes, it's the perfect place to fall in love. And Kelly goes, I'm pretty tired. Kelly's great.
I love Kelly.
What a great response to that statement. She goes, yeah, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah, I'm not into this.
What?
Yeah.
She's great. So.
The one-on-one date this week was with Sydney. Now, Sydney has, I felt like she has, of the quote-unquote girls that don't talk, she's the most vocal of the girls that don't talk. You know what I mean?
No. No one knows what you mean, honey.
I mean,
what you said, quote unquote, girls that don't talk. First of all, no one knows who that is. But second of all, they don't talk.
I can list several of them. Madison is a girl that doesn't talk.
Madison is making a strategic choice, which is going to end up benefiting her.
Yeah.
Also, all the girls who don't talk are winning.
Kelly is a girl that doesn't talk.
We're still at a point where you're talking your way off the show more than on the show.
I would say that Hannah Ann is also of the group of girls that doesn't talk that does talk.
It might also be the case that they're just not putting the girls who don't make a big drama on TV a lot because, you know, they might actually be talking in real life. You don't know.
You don't know.
That's true. So Sydney and Peter go on their one-on-one date, and guess what? They're in a helicopter.
Oh my God, is he flying it?
He is not.
Wow, thank God they let him take a bisque off.
Why are you doing this?
Because I have to.
You do this, and it's like you don't want me to divorce you. It's like you don't want me to pack my things.
I didn't even have to write one down in the notes right there. That one just came off the top of my head.
Just off dome?
Bisque off the top of my head.
Just straight off dome, really?
Yeah.
Right.
So they fly. They see waterfalls. You know what? This is exactly like something that Taylor and I did for to celebrate our 2-year anniversary this October.
Our 2-year wedding anniversary. And let's be clear, this year we will be together for 10 years.
Not counting our wedding day, counting the day we started dating.
Correct. That's right? A lot. That's a lot.
It is a lot. We've been doing this show for 3/4 of that.
You know, I was telling somebody about this and I was like, man, you know, we've got to do the show tonight and it's a 3-hour episode. They said, wow, Taylor, you're really committed. I said, unfortunately, that's my lot in life.
That's the legalities of it. Yes.
That's right. We'll have to make some tough decisions pretty soon.
So he and Sydney, they fly around. They land in the middle of a field. Oh my God, there's like a couch and some wine set out.
Yes. And so one of the things that Peter says about Sydney is that, you know, he's had a really good time with her, but she's really been looking out for him. She's always been the one to say, you know, I just want to make sure that you are trying to find the right person. And if it's not me, that's cool. But also, I'm sure that it helps that she's super hot.
Yeah, Sydney is super hot.
Super hot.
I think it is going to become apparent relatively soon to him that she is a little bit difficult to talk to at length. I feel like she says like a lot and she stumbles a lot. And when she talks to you, she tells you what she's trying to say without actually doing it.
You know, it's so interesting to watch these girls go out on dates and the one-on-one dates. And then you see him talk to Kelly and wow.
Oh, Kelly destroys. Yeah. Kelly and Sydney dates are
different.
Very opposite.
So different.
But I think Sydney and McKenna suffer from the same thing. Where they sit down and they go, let's have a deep conversation. But they don't actually know how to have one. They just want to talk about having one.
Well, because they are people who are 24 years old.
That is exactly the
problem.
What
do you expect them to, one, talk about? Two, have any sort of, you know, big thing to say that isn't some tragic sob story that you're telling somebody about? Like,
well, Sydney had that.
She did. So Sydney talked at length about growing up in Birmingham, Alabama.
She talked at medium length. Well, I wouldn't say look.
She described her experience growing up in Birmingham, Alabama, living with her mom, who is a single parent. Her dad is Afro-Latino, and she doesn't really know him. She only maybe has seen him 5 times over her age.
After she was 4 when
after she was 4 when they got divorced. She didn't have a lot of friends. People were very racist to her. She had some identity issues. And, you know, her mom was a single parent. It was not cool. And I appreciate her saying that and voicing those things. Of course, Peter decided to discuss his own mixed heritage.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he comforts her with some kisses and a rose, which is sort of his, like, that's his go-to. This will happen a couple of other times tonight. But instead, yeah, I mean, he's like, thanks for sharing. And then instead of like, you know, having some intelligent thought or something, he's just like, what if we kiss and then I give you the rose?
And that's pretty much what happened. Sydney got the rose and happy Black History Month.
I mean, so there was nothing around for him to fly her away in. So
no.
He was like, that move is gone.
Well, I mean, he already talked about being Cuban on the date, so he can't talk about being a pilot. He has to save that
he
for the next
one. Talk about being Cuban in Spanish, though.
But he did
which
speak
is another, well,
Spanish
he was saving that move for later
date.
In the date.
He did speak Spanish during her date.
He has a limited number of moves.
It's only,
and I'm like, I'm not talking about the Cuban shuffle. I'm talking, although that is accurate. That is part of the same conversation.
That is a move. So congratulations to Sydney.
Sydney is doing well on the show, I think.
Here's my challenge with Sydney. I like her. I enjoy her. I see what she's doing. She's a bit of a pot stirrer, so I am cautiously optimistic about what she can provide to
the rest
of the show.
I think she was just stirring the pot because she got the one-on-one date right away.
Yeah.
And then she just had the rose, and there was a lot of pot to be stirred.
That's true.
So she just inserted herself and stirred up.
And you know what? When you're a front runner, you have a rose, and there's nothing to do in Costa Rica, you have to figure out how to stir the pot.
So I think Sydney suffers from, you know, the, like, tell, don't show type thing with her personality depth, which is something that a lot of the women suffer from. However...
In what respect? Tell us more about the tell, don't show.
Well, I mean, this is like the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do in writing or in storytelling. Like, when you sit down with somebody, you're not supposed to say, I'm smart. You're supposed to talk to them about things that show that you are smart,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, if you went on a date with me and I was like, yeah, I'm good at math. Is that believable? If you went on a date with me and I was like, let me tell you how to calculate the tip on this bill.
And you know
maybe
what?
Maybe you'd believe me better.
And you know what? I will say, every time you say that you're good at math, I roll my eyes. But every time I calculate a tip, because you told me very early on in our dating life, I'm like, oh, Adam is good at math.
It's, yeah, I mean, this is like the difference between like shallow and depth is this. But there are so few women who can actually do this that I don't know if it actually punishes her later.
I just want to be clear also that just because I said that Adam taught me how to do something doesn't mean that I love him, okay? I just don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm showing my feelings at all. But go ahead.
And just so that everybody else knows, I really am good at math. do you have anything else to say about... Oh, we get... So, like, she gets the rose,
yeah.
Right? Then they make out in the hot tub, which, you know... Which is the standard way to get to know somebody.
You know, like, I mean, everybody's...
It's weird, but, like, this is how I interview people at work. And, like, they were like, listen, this is kind of weird. And I said, it's not really weird. I don't sign anything that says I won't sexually harass people who don't work here.
I mean, I'm not saying that it was something that I looked for in the interns, but I want them to have a good semester.
Sort of a steamy way to get to know you, right?
Yeah, I want them to have a good semester, you know? I don't want to be a hindrance to their sexual development.
Right. Somebody's like, how do you want your interns to leave this show? And I say, developed.
And experienced.
Right.
And experienced.
Anyway, that's the end of Sydney's date.
Good for her.
Let's go to the group date.
Okay, so on the group date, we had Natasha, Victoria P, Victoria F, McKenna, Lexi, Shean, Tammy, Kelsey, Hannah Ann, and Madison. And this...
Let me translate for everybody not keeping score at home, which is, I think, most of the people. That is everyone but Kelly. So the first date had Sydney, then the group date was everybody but Kelly, and then the last date is going to be just Kelly.
So this group date, all of the girls gathered together, and out pops the editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan magazine. And they are going to be doing a photo shoot for their March issue featuring the girls from Le Bachelor.
Yeah, this, guess what? You take a bunch of hot women, you take them somewhere tropical and cool. This is an activity.
Yes, and the winner of the date will be featured on their March cover with Peter, which sounds like a really amazing date. I will say, of the group dates this year, they've been pretty tame, but also really good, and also very, very impactful on the social media campaigns that these girls will run later. And you know what? I really feel like the show thought about it, and I also really feel like some of the brands that they're starting to contact are starting to get the quote-unquote Bachelor Nation content creation sort of window, which is nice to see. You know, integrated marketing, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, The Bachelor's just leaning into this whole, all these girls are just here for a little bit of Instagram fame type thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're no longer picking brands that are like, oh, this is some weird mom and pop shop thing. Like, they're picking actual brands that want to be connected with the show that are things that have name recognition for people.
I mean, these Peter and these girls, whatever, are going to be on the cover of like literally every rag forever, every month for a little bit. It's weird. A real life actual magazine is also going to have them on the cover.
Listen, I watch The Bold Type. I know how this stuff works.
Sure. The documentary.
It is.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so we're on this date, and it's very obvious early that Kelsey is having a hard time.
Yes.
Kelsey, you might remember from the champagne controversy earlier.
Jesus.
She has done nothing but cry literally every episode.
For
she
weeks.
Is not ever on TV without crying, which is, you know, something.
Right.
She's crying because she can't stand to just watch him cheat with all these other women.
Now, again, this is a thing that we have talked about millions of times on the show. This is just part of the experience. You have to wait around while the lead ends up dating 15 other people. This is just what you're doing. So Tammy, being a nice person at the time, decided to try to help Kelsey and comfort her. She saw Kelsey, you know, popping her pills, aka taking her daily regimen of Adderall and birth control, and then also getting super drunk and just crying for 4 days straight. So as a good friend, she said, hey, what's up? Let's talk about this. And Kelsey could not even reasonably communicate
she
with her.
Couldn't even get words out. And at this point,
no.
Tammy is, I was saying to Taylor while we watched the show, I said, if I'm Peter and I'm like, I need somebody in the house who's like the objective observer, who's going to give it to me straight.
I need a Leslie Murphy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Everyone needs a Leslie Murphy. Mm. Nobody more than me. Leslie Murphy, if you're listening, you know, happy birthday to us.
I know. Also, ditch that drone pilot guy. Adam is available.
I am, like,
yeah.
To her, yeah. I am technically married, but that is something I could get out of.
Who cares? Like, Adam, very honestly, people ask me this all the time. They're like, you make it sound like Adam would be down for whatever, and, like, you're totally okay with him dating Leslie Murphy. I'm like, you guys don't understand. It would be fine. And if Oscar Isaac walked in here right now, it would also be fine. If Chris Evans walked in here, if Rick Fox walked in here, all of it is on the table.
I mean, you know my speed better than anybody.
Sure
if
do.
Leslie Murphy walked into our recording studio right now,
uh-huh.
and it was just the three of us,
That's
all the
right.
interns left,
yep.
just the three of us,
yep.
and I was like, Leslie Murphy, let's hang out every day until this thing, you know, jumps off. It might be a year before I have the nerve to ask her out.
That is true.
You know?
That is true.
It would just be a whole bunch of me buying her dinners
mm-hmm.
and talking about books,
mm-hmm.
which is my particular, you know, method of enchantment.
I was going to say your kink, but okay.
Worked for you.
it did. You got me!
So Kelsey's having a hard time because that's what she does. She has a hard time. Tammy tries to help. And then it's sort of left off there, right? I mean,
Kelsey's,
interpersonal-wise.
Kelsey's really just a bit of a roller coaster.
No, she's not. She is the same all the time. There is no ups. She is all downs.
Yeah. So over the course of the date, the photo shoot goes well. And come to find out, towards the end, Victoria F. was chosen as the winner of the date. Now...
A.K.A. just the hottest one that they wanted to put on their cover to sell magazines.
So, today, Cosmopolitan Magazine put out a letter from the editor saying that they would not showcase the photos that were taken and put them on the cover of the magazine because of Victoria's modeling for a... And let me get the details straight, because I've been saying that it is a Confederate flag brand, but it's actually it's a fishing brand that is using the phrase White Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter for their branding and marketing. And so, as a result, the editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan Magazine said, you know, we are fully supporters of the Black Lives Matter movement and everything that it stands for and means. And the fact that she would model for a clothing line that, one, means to make this a joke is not cool. And we don't appreciate it. So we're not going to use those pictures. And then that was pretty much it.
So the whole date was a joke.
Well, all of the photos are still going to be used in the spread.
Yeah, they're still going to use them.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Kelsey is mid breakdown, and that's it.
Yeah. So we get to the evening portion of the date. We don't see too much, but Tammy starts to share a little bit about Kelsey's instability.
with drinking problem
with the rest of the girls. She calls it a mental breakdown. But here's the thing.
Peter also calls it a mental breakdown.
Yeah, here's the thing. We already know that Peter doesn't have a whole lot of tact. And that is clear in some of his decision making. I would also like to say that, you know, Tammy's choice of words here was not ideal. I don't think she should have said mental breakdown. I think she probably should have said, Kelsey really seems like she's not doing well in this experience. You know, all this week she's been drinking really, really hard and crying a bunch. I'm worried about her. Period. But she didn't say that.
Nobody would ever say that.
I think it has something to do with the fact that Tammy is, let's see everybody, 24!
Yeah. They're all babies except for Kelly. It doesn't matter how old they are.
That's right. It does.
Whatever. So Peter's talking to them. He's like, listen, Kelsey, I heard you had a little bit of a mental breakdown.
And she cries. Has a mental breakdown, yeah.
And she responds by just crying. Yeah. And everyone turns on Kelsey. It's not just Tammy. The entire house is like, listen, you're not the only one here. You can't start doing this. Lexi digs in a little bit.
Yeah, Lexi. Hello?
A lot of people go in on her. Kelsey is not, she is the enemy of the house, which is a terrible place to be, especially on this week.
That's right. So Peter ends up giving the rose to Hannah Ann, and we move on to our next one-on-one date.
Hannah Ann is harmless.
She truly is. She's another one of those girls who doesn't talk a lot, but talks a lot.
It is a good strategic choice to not be talking a lot on this season because the second you open your mouth, somebody else jumps down it.
100%.
So you got to just be like, oh, hey. And then you got to tip your little champagne glass at everyone and just keep drinking.
Oh,
and
not the champagne glass too soon, Adam. Wow.
Sorry, Kelsey. If you're listening to this, sorry.
Tip your tiny hat. So our next one-on-one date goes to our best friend, Kelly. So, as we know, Peter and Kelly had this beautiful whirlwind romance, i.e.
one-night stand.
And Kelly came on the show, and they had this reconnection, and it was very hot and passionate. So, the problem becomes that Kelly is herself. And Kelly is somebody who, one, doesn't care about being here, doesn't necessarily want to be here, is not totally super comfortable with the process, which I understand. And as a result, Peter is not taking that as affection for him.
Well, I think what happens is it's now been a month or so of the actual game, maybe a little bit longer. And literally everyone else is like, oh, my God, Peter, you're so great. What did you cut your head open? Oh, my God. What did you do to that big, bad glass, that golf cart? Oh, my God. And Kelly's not.
No.
Kelly's like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know if I want to do this. And everybody else is like, I definitely went. I came here to get married to you before I even knew you.
And Kelly's like, I mean, I want to be a power couple. I want to be somebody who's with somebody who is on my level. And if you're not, that's totally cool. And that's not for me.
I mean, that's a bunch of lies, too. She doesn't actually want that because she's on The Bachelor.
It does sound like, though, we'll get into it. So they go on this date. It's a whole spiritual thing. It's kind of dumb. I really hate when they do this sort of, let's go to some cultural place and sort of have some shaman tell us about our lives and our bodies and, you know, why we need to be connected to the earth. It's kind of racist. So I don't love it. But during the date, they talk a lot about how Kelly is not as open with her emotions as some of the other girls are.
I mean, yeah, it's not even close.
Right.
Like she just doesn't want to do this. And it's weird because Peter wants her to want to do this.
Yes.
And again, he loves that she is unavailable.
Oh, my God.
She loves it.
And I was looking at...
Men, right? You watch the show. I told Taylor. Ooh, you watch the show and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I'm gay. Who could possibly be attracted to a woman at a time like this?
I know.
You watch it and you're like, this is the absolute worst like specimen of women you could possibly assemble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is representing, you know, all of the women out there, and they're doing such a job of it.
It's not great.
You think that, and then you go, well, the male sample isn't exactly ideal either. He essentially is like, this is the ultimatum right now.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, you need to be in, and then you have to convince me that you're here to marry me, otherwise you're going to go. And she comes literally 1 inch in his direction. She's like, well, I'm not there. I don't actually like you. But starting now, I feel like I'm going to start working toward a place where maybe I'd be comfortable with you and me being a couple. And he goes, great, that's all I needed to hear.
Now, granted, Kelly knows that she hasn't been showing up, quote unquote, correctly. I mean, compared to all the other girls, like you said, like, you know, they are, you know, basically pulling their breasts out of
their
dresses.
They have nothing going on in their lives mm-hmm. other than being on the show.
And Kelly has a ton of things going on in her life.
She like, at least has a good job.
Well, the only reason that she's even able to be here as a lawyer is because her family owns the law firm that she works at. And it sounds like, based on her conversation, that she even got on the show because it was something to do. Not because she wanted to be here for Peter. She wanted to, you know, find love. Like, I'm sure there was something somewhere in that where she said, okay, yeah, I mean, I really want to be married and these are the things that I'm looking for in a partner. And she was very clear about that with Peter. But I think 70-30, she was like, I think it would just be a cool experience to go and do it and then come home. However, I did appreciate her basically reading him to filth and saying, you know, it's all fun and games that you can sit here and tell me that I need to be more vocal with you about my feelings and I need to be all over you. But when you're making the kind of decisions that you've been making and giving attention to the kind of girls you've been giving attention to, and this is a big thing that many girls who've been in her position that we've liked and have been cool and been reasonable over the course of us watching the show have said, that if these are the kind of decisions that you're making, I don't know if I want to be in a long-term relationship with somebody that makes... that is into that kind of stuff, which is legit. Because people make judgments about the people that you surround yourself with. And especially in a heightened situation like this, when you don't know anybody, the only thing that you have to go off of are the decisions you make. So you have to figure out who this person is based on whether they bring Aliyah back, or I don't care if I'm saying her name right or not. Whether
you're
they,
not.
You bring Aliyah back or you let Kelsey basically, you know, cry for weeks on end and then end up giving her a rose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk about this when we get into Kelsey next.
Can't
but
wait.
It's basic economics, and he's not doing it very well. So that's it. He ends up giving Kelly the rose because
yeah.
he's so excited that she was willing to
so
budge
excited.
Literally 1% in his direction.
You love to see it.
And he jumped on it. He's like, all right, cool. This is going to work.
Does she remind you of, like, Charlene and Andy the Dorf Dorfman just in their sort of apathy to the whole thing?
No, I don't think so.
How do you feel like they're different?
I mean, Andy the Dorf Dorfman stayed in until the very end. There's no way Kelly does.
Mm-hmm.
She'll leave as soon as it's actually a reasonable threat that she has to legit get married to somebody. I have lost hope that she is going to stick around for a long time, because literally it just takes one other one-on-one conversation with this guy where she'll be like, yeah, I'm not really into it. I'll just see you later.
Yeah.
So she gets the rose.
We love to see it.
And that's supposed to be the end of the program, but wait, there's still another hour.
I'm so tired.
So here's what happens next. Kelsey, the champagne crier, has been sitting around the house crying to herself. And instead of this, she decides to go find Peter IRL at his little suite and cry on him for a little bit. And so that's what she does. She's like, I just don't feel like you know what's going on because I'm just crying all the time. And you think I'm just crying all the time.
And as we know, it is frowned upon at this stage in the game to go to the Leeds hotel room. Like, you can't do that because we're all fighting for time for the lead. We all want the lead to see us in a way that is going to be on our terms and not on their terms. And right now, when everybody's in their moon week, basically, because that's what was getting ready to go down.
This week's episode is... punctuated.
Yes. This is always my favorite episode in the season. This is the one where everybody gets synced up and everybody goes crazy.
So Kelsey comes, and a lot of the girls are saying this season.
Yeah.
I think this is a producer friend. Like, I just want you to know who I am. I want you to see me. And I'm like, listen, yeah, you have opportunities for this. You're not doing it. Like, you want to tell somebody that you're incredible and you want them to believe you right away instead of acting like a normal person who is desirable.
Right. So you have to convince somebody. It's like, you know, buy my car.
Yeah.
No.
They want to sit there and go and just cry in him and go, I'm desirable. I'm the best person around. And have him just go, oh, yeah, okay.
Well, that does not make you attractive. That makes you non-attractive.
It does. Yes. Except for Peter falls for it every time because he's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Here's the lesson in basic economics that Peter is not understanding correctly.
Ooh, tell us.
You get more of what you reward. Mm-hmm. The problem with Peter, the reason that every rose ceremony, every gathering of the women gets run over by some she said drama is because he is rewarding it every time. He goes, okay, in a game, in a situation where the currency is my time, I'm going to take the people who are using my time the least, the worst, and give them more of it. And he is getting more of the drama. It's his fault.
I just really wish that he would see what he's doing, because it seems like he understands that he made mistakes or is making mistakes, but he's repeating the mistakes. So I don't know if he understands what's going on or doesn't see that the symptoms of what is happening are still intact.
I think he thinks he's this big guy who's out here willing to admit that he makes mistakes. And he comes out and he's like, yeah, I'm not perfect, you know. But it's also like, dude, it's sort of your job to figure out the most sane person here. That's like, you know, I don't want to be like, pro tip, I'm married, you know, because, like, yeah, I don't want to rub that in everybody's face.
Sorry.
What if we had people listening who aren't married? I don't want to be like, I figured it all out. But that's the majority of dating, is you got to figure out somebody where you're just absolutely convinced that they're sane, and then you just get married. But like, that's it.
But the problem is that he found that person, but he's mad that she's not throwing herself all over him.
Well, she's not really, like, she's not necessarily sane either. She doesn't even love him. She's in a dating show to win him over, and she doesn't even want that. Mm. That's not sane.
I love Kelly.
Get over it. So we have this blow up. Kelsey gets a rose from him because he has no other way to, like, stop the crying.
And let's explain this. So she – let's go over this one more time. So she goes to his apartment or his house, hacienda, whatever.
Villa.
We're in Costa Rica. And they talk one-on-one. After their one-on-one discussion, Peter goes, talks to the producers, and gets a rose. So there was actually no rose on the table. This is a thing that he just decided to do at the whim of his desires.
So it's the only thing he could think of to stop her from crying.
Shut her up. So she walks back up to meet the rest of the girls, who, by the way, are getting ready for the cocktail party. And in she walks with a rose. Ooh, it did not look good, gang.
Mm-mm. You know what? This is an actual, real serious pro tip for anybody out there.
Okay.
If you got somebody you're interested in, you're sitting there talking to them, the right way to move forward with this relationship is to make a demand about how much time they spend with you or how much they care about you, and then start crying until they concede that demand. You know, like, hey, give me a date. I'm going to cry until you just give it to me. So, you know.
You know,
let me just turn it on.
I think a lot of people have learned to have disagreements like that. And that's probably why we're in some of the situations we're in now.
That was a serious dating tip.
Thanks, Adam.
From Adam Bonifest.
Thank you.
So anyway, Peter goes, hey, listen, I've had enough of this garbage. I've had enough of this drama. I don't need another cocktail party where people are going to talk shit about each other. Let's just skip it. I know who I'm going to eliminate. Let's do this.
But the girls are fighting. They are so upset. They feel like this is all Kelsey's fault. And now Kelsey feels like she has to defend herself against none other than Tammy, who was the person that went and told Peter.
Big time attack now.
That she was having a mental breakdown. Then the rest of the girls continue to fight with each other because, one, of course, we're so focused on Tammy telling all these lies about Kelsey. And then on the other hand, we're super focused on the fact that we did not get enough time with Peter because there was no rose ceremony.
He doesn't know your true self. He doesn't know all your stuff. This is crucial.
He doesn't know your secrets. And then meanwhile, McKenna was rolling. And when I say rolling, I mean, she was on acid. She was hitting LSD. She was having an ayahuasca moment. She could not keep her tongue in her mouth. I don't understand what was happening.
Yeah. It was very distracting. For the last 20 minutes of this episode, every time McKenna's on TV, she's like got her mouth open and she's licking her lips, you know?
But then at the same time, she was acting very erratically and then also saying, I'm so tired. I don't know what's going on. Maybe she was trying to keep herself awake. I don't know. Maybe the time zones were messing her up. That's legit.
She was altered in some way.
Yeah, something wasn't right. Something wasn't quite right.
So
that's pretty much it. I mean, Tammy was, you know, made to look like the bad guy. McKenna was then mad at Tammy for making
Tammy Kelsey look like the bad guy.
Yeah. And then Tammy is like, I don't understand what happened. I was just trying to talk real talk. But you can't talk real talk with Peter because Peter can't talk real talk.
But you don't win the show by throwing 29 other people under the bus. That's just not how you win. You just assume that when somebody is bad, that the Bachelor or the Bachelorette will notice it. And you know what? They don't. Like, you know, if they're Hannah Brown, they just pick them as their winner.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that Peter keeps saying, I know that this process works. I trust this process. When the only time he's been on it is a very bad ending to this process. And also, it doesn't work.
I think for some reason, he keeps making these decisions. And I think to myself, sir, don't you remember when you were on this show? Like, why do you keep making these kinds of decisions? You have to know how this feels for...
No, he doesn't.
I mean, and again, more behavior of a bad boyfriend. You need somebody who is empathetic. This is not an empathetic person.
So we have a rose ceremony. We lose two more girls.
Yes.
Let's do Shein first.
Okay.
We lost Shein, who has, I feel like, been nervous for quite a few episodes. She's sort of barely scraped by a few rose ceremonies.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's done anything actual. Nobody's done anything actual.
No.
Everyone's just been, two girls are fighting and everyone else just sits around for every episode.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Shein had the MVP episode of the group date when they did the football date in Cleveland, but that was last week. And so for her to start this late on the train of being a big star in this competition.
She just played football well. Like, she was just athletic. She didn't actually do anything impressive.
But that's how you gotta make a name for yourself. And you just took too long, honestly.
We also lost Lexi.
Lexi, who ended up being a lot of the voice of reason this season, pretty late on.
She got a little too attacky at the end.
Yeah, she came to the defense of a couple of girls, which I thought was really interesting. But she seemed, like, very worldly and reasonable. So, I'm into that.
So, when they were doing the pictures, the little photo shoot, Lexi was there, took some pictures, and you're like, man, she is hot when you take pictures of her. Too bad, you know, when she's on video, she's not.
You know,
it's strange.
Again, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. You know, I don't want to tell anybody to get Botox, to not get Botox, but, you know, just, you know, make it tasteful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the episode.
Yeah.
We're done now. We are waiting 2 days till the next episode.
Ugh.
And something dramatic is going to happen then.
So I'm tired. So tired.
You want to do power rankings and bold predictions now?
Let's do it. Who's your number four?
My number four is going to be Natasha.
Oh, wow.
I like a grown-up in the room. And we've been sitting here saying that Kelly's the only grown-up, but she is not.
Mm-hmm.
Natasha is the grown-up.
That's right.
Look good in the swimsuit, too. I'm going to give Natasha my number four.
Oh, Adam. Happy Black History Month. My number
also, happy Black History Month, everyone.
Yay! We're doing it! Number four for me is Kelly. She's not as high as she usually is. Over the course of my time here, only because the date that they had today was kind of weird. I don't think she'll be here any longer, but I also think that she'll probably get up and walk out.
So, yeah, I think the advantage that Kelly has is that he has seen her naked and slept with her, yeah. and he is going to get close to and then actually do that with several of the other women, and she's going to lose that advantage very soon.
I agree, especially because she's so apathetic about the whole thing.
My number three is Sydney.
Oh.
Who is...
you know, that's a good point, Adam.
Thanks, I'm good at math.
Okay, I thought about that. I heard your Sydney, and I looked at my list, and then I said, that was a good answer.
Thanks. Proud of you. Thanks, I do this for a living.
Mm-hmm. My number three is Victoria F. I don't want this to be true, and I don't want this to be the case, but yeah.
I mean, she's still hot. He's into that.
Well.
My number two is Hannah Ann, who's just cute and adorable and just, you know, keeping her mouth shut for a while, which, you know, at this point, I will take.
Another girl keeping her mouth shut is my number two, Madison.
Madison's my number one.
She truly didn't say a word this
Madison
week.
Is great. Yeah. She is brilliant.
She is brilliant.
She's hotter than you think she's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it, you know what? It takes a lot to not get dragged into any of these fights. You literally have to, like, force your way out of them sometimes. And, you know, she's doing that. And I'm proud of that.
And especially for her to be as young as she is. I mean, she's also 23, 24, and I haven't heard a lick from her about any of this stuff. So
there's been no good news in the house. She's just not being in the news.
It makes me think that she's either super, super mature or boring as...
At this point, I would say both of those things are more attractive than anybody who is actually on camera.
My number one is Hannah Brown.
Oh, get over it. No, she's not coming back.
Okay, Adam. Okay.
What do you think happens next week?
Well,
did we see teasers or anything?
We did see a teaser for next week. I think there feels like there is some symptoms of a 2-on-1 date. I do also feel like somebody is going to get up and walk out. And probably,
it's got to be Kelly.
And probably somebody that we don't expect. Saw the glasses again from Victoria P. That might mean she's fed up. I don't know.
You know what? I think Victoria P. is the least attractive by a long way, but he likes her.
He does.
She did not make it in your power rankings, which seems like you have done it wrong. I don't want to point the finger, but...
Well, you know, I made my peace with it. I've got a whole second shot to make it right.
We have to be running out of stupid little fights. Right?
I don't think so, because remember when Peter was doing press for this season, he said, you know, every week I thought it would get better, and every week it actually got worse.
I think Hannah Ann's going to get into a fight.
I mean, there aren't enough people left to get into fights. She's going to have to.
Oh, Tammy will fight anybody.
Oh, yeah. Tammy's dangerous.
I think Tammy and Hannah Ann are going to fight next week.
Yeah, Tammy will fight anybody just so that she can kiss somebody. Kiss.
Tammy, it's cool.
It's cool.
It's 2020.
Yeah.
You don't have to fake it. Everybody, it's okay.
Sexuality is fluid. Everybody can like everything. It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah. You don't like, everyone knows you don't really like Peter. It's mm-mm, very obvious. Mm-mm.
So, thanks everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you again in literally 2 days.
Yeah, we're going to try to get some sleep tomorrow, and then we'll see you on Thursday. Bye!
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
I am a very safe guy. Practice safety in everything I do, and
everything.
I'm not going to stop now.
This is not normal, dating 30 women.
You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Live vicariously through my love story.
Everyone thinks I fell in love with everyone.
I am in touch with my emotions. It's like the number one thing for me.
I think it comes from my Cuban roots.
It was uncomfortable. It was awkward.
You date that many women, there's going to be drama.
What drama?